for me, it really has allowed me to meet people and network with people more than anything else in my life. And not just from the guests that I've had on the podcast, like you said, I've recorded more than 300 of them.
Hey, friend, it's David Nabinsky here in New York City. As you may know, I've spent the last 2 years deeply immersed in podcasting and related projects to it. Katie Dalebout has done the same, but since 2013, she is the host of a podcast called Let It Out, which is soon approaching 300 episodes. She hosts another show, and she also has been helping other people launch their podcasts as well. So you'll learn a lot about the benefits of podcasting and where podcasting has kind of taken Katie in many different ways. I actually initially learned about Katie when Sarah Weinreb talked about Katie on my podcast, episode number 67. Thank you so much, Sarah. If interested in learning more about Katie, please check her out on Instagram, Katie Dalebout, where she's always posting incredible content there. In this episode, you will learn how she was able to have her podcast and a full-time job, and then also how she wrote a book while having a full-time job and the podcast. Very, very inspiring. You also hear about how Katie thinks about the power and the opportunity we have with emailing and one email away. You also learn about Katie's journaling process and related work, which she wrote a book on journaling. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Katie.
Cool. So welcome, Katie.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, David. We did it finally.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so Katie, this is a podcast. I'm not sure if you're familiar with podcasting.
I've done it a little bit, just a little.
Yeah. And it's an honor. And so thank you. And also, I know you're approaching 300 episodes soon. And so first wanted to say early thank you and congrats on that.
Thank you.
But I would love to maybe just start off with just podcasting has been very rewarding to me in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. I think maybe a good place to kind of start off here is just a little bit about like why you started your podcast, Let It Out, 2012. And yeah, maybe start there.
Well, I always say this about podcasting, but I think podcasting is the new networking. And I don't know if it is that way still so much, because I think so many more people have podcasts. And so I heard someone say, one of my favorite comedians who also has a podcast, said that asking someone to be on your podcast is the new, will you take me to the airport? And I don't feel that way, because I love doing it. And being a guest on someone's podcast is really fun for me, because I love having conversations. And I think people love talking about themselves too. So I don't necessarily agree with what he said there. But for me, it really has allowed me to meet people and network with people more than anything else in my life. And not just from the guests that I've had on the podcast. Like you said, at this point, I've recorded more than 300 of them. And so through the guests, and then also the people listening to the episodes, I've gotten to meet people all over the world. And what's cool about it is that they know me a bit, you know, like when I do meet someone, we can kind of hit the ground running in a friendship, because, you know, people who I've dated or people who are really close to me, when I meet a podcast listener and they don't know me, but like know the podcast, they'll be like, you do actually kind of know her, because it's really not that different. And, you know, I think that's a really cool, beautiful, weird thing. And we were talking a little bit before we started recording, you know, I help other people start podcasts now. And I started that workshop in 2017, 2018. And I really was toying with like, does the world need more podcasts? Like and then I thought about it and I was like, why not? You know, if people can, what is the harm? You know, there's no environmental footprint of it. It's people sharing something creatively and connecting with other people in a world where we feel really lonely. And so, you know, I think podcasting now is probably what blogging was 10, 15 years ago. And I don't know what the future of it will be, but it's given me so much. I'm so grateful for it. You know, I think there's this you don't really need much, you know, you just kind of need time. You need a little bit of confidence, but not as much confidence as for video. Like I always joke that I have a face for podcasting. Like you don't have to think about the lighting. You don't have to think about what you're wearing. Like you can just sit and be with someone. And I recorded maybe 200, maybe 100 remotely. And then I shifted to do everything in person. And that really taught me how to, it made my non-recorded conversations better too. It helped me to be a more present, well-rounded person by just talking to people that often.
One thing that I think has been really interesting to me, and I think everybody should have a podcast or within reason.
Yeah, everyone
I think
who it wants is, to is, have a yeah. podcast.
Yeah. And I think starting small and just continuing to go is just keep having fun that way.
Yeah.
One thing that's been really inspiring to me is that I think you launched a book while you had a podcast and also you were working while you had a podcast. Yeah. So maybe talk to us a little bit about what that was like of having a full-time job and also having a, you know, really successful podcast.
Well, you know, it wasn't really successful when I started, but it was also I think I started it in 2013. So it was I probably like started working on it maybe in 2012, but I remember the first episode came out in, I think, February or March of 2013. So back then, you know, it was before Serial. It was before a lot of people knew what podcasts were. I barely knew what they were. But at the time, I was working full time. I was teaching yoga. I had a blog at the time, and I was somehow producing so much content. I was 22 years old. Like, I didn't really have many friends. And I was like basically a workaholic, you know, I was just like putting all I had into these projects, and it was great. You know, it like served me for a time. It made my network what it is now. It was really like laying the foundation for a lot of people who are still my mentors. I was just thinking about this today that I've like talked to in the last week who I'm like very close with now. I met as a result of that time in my life. Because I was really moving very quickly and doing a lot of things. And, you know, I think that that served me. I don't think it was healthy and sustainable, you know, and I don't think people need to do that now to start a podcast. But back then, like the people I asked on my podcast, it sounded cool that I had like something on iTunes and I was this like young child basically like asking people like really a fangirl and really excited about people's work, and so they said yes to me, and I was prepared. I mean, I studied broadcast journalism in school, and so I knew how to interview and I knew how to prepare for an interview, and I loved that. I loved cold calling people. I have this skill of like I don't have stage fright. I don't get nervous. That comes naturally to me. It's a lot of the most things don't, but that weirdly does. And so I remember doing the first interview, which was with someone I knew pretty well. And she said to me, she was like, I remember she emailed me after and she was like, you should keep doing that. You're good at that. That was great. And if I hadn't gotten, I'm a words of affirmation person as my love language. So if I hadn't gotten that, I think I probably would have stopped, but that was really useful. And then, so to answer your question, so then I don't know, maybe like 100 episodes in a very kismet weird story, I got a book deal with Hay House, wrote this book, which is about journaling, and still was doing the podcast, still working full time, wrote a book. I would wake up at like 5 a.m., write a little bit, do my work for the day, record a podcast in the evening. Like it just kind of worked and flowed. And, you know, eventually I moved to New York City and I was, you know, I kind of shifted things then and I recorded everything in person. We did a lot of live podcasts and, you know, now I kind of feel like it's a bit of a nod to that 2013 me, because I was basically in quarantine then, just working all the time. And I'm kind of doing that again now where I'm obviously recording remotely and I'm, you know, working on a lot of new things in different times and I don't work full time anymore, but yeah, it's interesting and kind of full circle.
So it is, you know, I think some people have, you know, concerns of starting personal projects and then also working full time and kind of that balance there. So it sounds like that you're saying it's possible and more.
Totally. I mean, I honestly, like, I think I was more productive in that time than any other time in my life. And I don't just mean more productive because I was working full time and doing my stuff. I was way more productive on the stuff I was doing now. Like, I don't know how I did it. Part of it was because I was younger, I think, too. And I just had more like hustle in me than I do now. Maybe I'm just like more tired. But I do think there is something of like, and I don't know if this has been the case for you, David, but like, you get more done when you're busy, you know, like you things just rejigger, you just figure it out. And it was really nice to not have to put the pressure on my creative work to make me money. Like, I knew I was being taken care of by this other thing that didn't take, depending on the day or the week or month, didn't take that much of my energy. And I had energy left to put on something else. And it didn't matter if it made money. It didn't matter. I didn't need that to pay my rent. And I always tell people not to leave their full-time job, because I think it serves the project more to not have to put that type of weight on it.
And, but then you ended up, correct me if I'm wrong, you ended up leaving the job to go all in on the podcast and related type of projects, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the job that I was working was never, it was always kind of a means to an end for me. And I have to say too, I should say I had a really good situation at that job. Like, they let me work from home. It wasn't that challenging for me, especially in the years later where I was very respectful of it. Like, I'll say that I never wanted that job to feel like I wasn't giving it my all, because that just feels yucky to me and that wouldn't feel good. And so I always treated that job as if it were my company, you know, but at the end of the day, it wasn't, you know, and I would do everything I could for it, but I didn't have the passion or the excitement to grow there. I just wanted to do the best I could, serve that, because I knew like it gave me everything, you know, like don't bite the hand that feeds you. Like, it not only gave me everything financially, but I learned so much, just like how to be a person and conduct myself in the world and the people I met through that job. And so eventually I knew I wanted to leave. I was just figuring out when that made the most sense. And that's actually how I started helping other people start podcasts, was I was like, all right, I had monetized the podcast a little bit. I never paid myself through the business, but basically I just had a ton of brands reaching out to me, like wanting to send me stuff or wanting to like have me talk about them. Like 90% of them weren't a fit or like wasn't something I was into. So I was like, maybe I could reach out to some brands too and see if like ones I actually like would want to do this. And so that happened very organically. And so at least the podcast at that point was sustaining itself based off of like, I brought someone on to edit it and I had help. And so it was able to, I wasn't in the red for that anymore. So that was good. And then, you know, it still wasn't enough to like live on. It wasn't my salary at my other job, but then I was like, all right, maybe I could start something that I could help other people start. Cause I was just getting so many questions. Like, I'm sure you get all the time of like, how do you start a podcast? How do you get it to iTunes? What kind of microphone do you use? Do you do this? And I had this like really intense Google Doc that I would send people. And I was like, maybe I could make this not only a workshop where everyone could get this information, but a creative community around that, because making creative projects can be really lonely, and especially podcasting, I think. And so I started what I call Let a Podcast Out, which helps people start podcasts. But I wanted that to be like up and running before I left my full-time job, which caused so much burnout. That was like my first experience of burnout, because I was doing all of the normal things I was doing, like events and podcasts and everything I had to do for my creative work. And I was working full time and I had just gotten a promotion. So it ended up being like way more work and it was good, but just like a lot. And then I also was like, and I'm going to make it a digital workshop and it had to be perfect and blah, blah, blah. And it's really robust. Like, for that, I ended up interviewing over a dozen other podcasters about their process, and that's part of the course. But that meant I was doing a dozen interviews and the podcast interviews and working full time. So that was a lot to do at once, but that's how I decided to leave, because like that was done. And I was like, still feels like I'm jumping off a cliff. I don't really know how this is going to go, but I'm going to try. And I did. And here we are. That was a while ago now.
And you also mentioned about like one of your friends giving you affirmation.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that I'm increasingly aware of and recognizant of that we're kind of like one email away or one friendship away from kind of a whole new idea, or, you know, in your case, it was like really believing in your work mm-hmm. and stuff. And I'm sure you email a bunch of people to be on your podcast. Any thoughts on, you know, maybe like a particular email or anything related to that of like a spark?
Yeah. Like you mean it's a time that that's happened in my life?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, David, that's such a good question. I was just thinking about that the other day. I was talking with my friend, like we were both just kind of feeling weird with the quarantine and just, to be honest, like, you know, just kind of missing my friends and missing like, and we were talking about gratitude and we were like, all right, well, what, because sometimes it can feel like things aren't working out the way I want them to, or I'm a big magical thinker. So I host two podcasts now. I actually have the second podcast with my friend Serena, which is about anxiety. And when we started spiraling that podcast, she would always joke with me, like, you take it from zero to like, let's make t-shirts, let's get an HBO show, let's do this. And I like, and she's like, dude, you just, let's just like make an episode, you know? And so I really have to kind of like taper my expectations or I'll just constantly feel disappointed. And so what I was talking to my friend about was like that exact feeling of like, oh man, like there were, I don't even remember what it was, honestly, David, it might've been like, I don't, some sort of disappointment. She was like, think about all the things that have worked out in your life. And so I actually like did it as a journaling exercise. And I wrote down like all the kismet things that have happened to me. And I was like, oh, yikes. Like I was super wrong. Like there's a bunch. And it's so true. It is a lot about, like, I loved what you said about being one email away from something. Like that's so true. And it can feel, it can feel very delicate. Like life is delicate, you know, life is one email away, but it's also like near misses. And I think that's what I was talking to my friend about. I was feeling a lot of near misses, a lot of like, this almost happened, but it didn't. And that's where she gave me that exercise of like, okay, but think about all the things that did happen. And so one of them, when Serena and I started spiraling, it was meant to just be like an 8-episode capsule podcast that was just us. And then it went really well and people loved it. And so we decided to do a season 2 and we wanted to have guests. And this was right before the pandemic. I was in Australia and we brainstormed the guests we wanted to have. And the number one person I wanted to have, Serena was just like, sure, like, cool, dude, like try, sure. And I was like, all right, maybe. And it was Jen Gotch. And like, I really love her. And, you know, she's like a really famous hard to reach person, you know, and I don't know her at all. And I was just like, I don't know, maybe we can like, let me go to her website. Let me do some digging. Cause I've done this a lot. And a lot of the people who have done my podcast did become friends or maybe didn't become friends, but I did get to meet as a result of like emailing their agent or like, I'm pretty good at that. So I was like, let me give it a go. And so I looked on her site and I saw her publicist and I was like, why do I know that name? And I just like typed it in my email and her publicist, I know. And I had like built a relationship with because I had a couple of her clients on as guests. And so she knew me, she remembered that. And I emailed her and she responded right away. And she was like, yeah, Jen would love to do it. And like, loved the name of the podcast. And we did it and she was our first guest. And Serena was just genuinely like laughing. Wow, I can't believe that that happened. So, you know, I think like that's just one recent example, but there are honestly so many things like that. Like I mention my favorite filmmaker in my book and then he and I ended up connecting with him and then he ended up doing my podcast. And like, it's just like, there's been so many intricate, interesting things like that of like, not even just with emails, like a lot of this, I've been thinking about this a lot too, especially in quarantine, like in-person connections, like running the person I like ran into on the train or like struck up a conversation with, or that's why I'm so apt to be fully present with everything I'm doing, or I want to be at least. And whenever I'm distracted or whenever I'm rushing or whenever I'm like trying to control something, it's such a bummer because you miss those kismet things from happening, basically.
That's amazing. Of like, it's so true. Of like, it is, we are life can change through one email or one interaction, but also it is kind of fragile too.
Totally, which I don't like thinking about that, you know, like it kind of makes me sad. I mean, it's really happy to think about the other side of that. It's like, oh my God, so many things happen that maybe wouldn't have happened and here we are. But then you also think about like, think about all the things that like maybe didn't happen or some, I don't know. I'm someone who just like really fears regret. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's been a lot of, especially with writing for me, I've had a lot of disappointment and rejection and like, you know, essays that I've written or like near misses of like, oh, we were going to publish this, but we actually just published a thing like this. And, you know, that can be hard. And that's when you can kind of feel the delicate things. And that's for me, when it goes back to trying to think, a more productive thought, I guess, for me is to believe, I don't even know if I fully believe this all the time, but I prefer to believe that everything happens for a reason because it's a thought that makes me feel better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, I mean, if it's, you know, it's, I think a lot of times we have to think about what can serve us and not in a, but it's kind of like, what's the fuel that we need to keep going?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think being down of like, oh my God, woe is me, like victim mentality, essentially, of like feeling like you're just moving upstream. It might feel true, but I don't know. The more I've stayed in that, that never gets me out of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like, would you say that's similar to like the, and this is a funny phrase, but a work divorce, the kind of magazine project that you have? Yeah. And then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pivoting. I've been thinking about that a lot today. I've been just like journaling a lot today and spending a lot of time reflecting today. And, you know, what you're referring to is last year when I left my job in 2018 and, you know, was going to make the podcast and I was going to, you know, continue making the podcast. And I was going to, you know, keep helping people start podcasts with Let a Podcast Out. But the main thing I was going to do was make a magazine. You know, I really wanted Let It Out to become bigger than just a podcast. Like I wanted it to be this community. And I felt like I kind of had all the raw materials to do that. I was like, all right, I have a team in place. I have a really clear idea and identity. Maybe really clear is like aggressive, like pretty decent idea of where I want this to go and what I want to cover. And I had a lot of confidence, weirdly, for some reason. And I had a little bit of money saved and I took a big chunk of that. And I worked with this design firm in Brooklyn and Bushwick. And I decided to like come up with an identity and a brand and a new website. And it was this big, huge thing that took me. I started and I made an RFP that I had to Google what that even meant. It means request for proposal for people listening like me who didn't know. And it took me so long to really get clear about like the business that I wanted to create. And I would go into their office every week and we would work on this. And that started in February of 2018. And then like a year later, and I hadn't even left my job yet. I think I left my job later that year. And then in January, that firm that I haven't ever told this story on a podcast or even on mine, but basically that firm closed, like disbanded, like they all went back to their, they like all worked at different places and went back and, or just didn't want to do it anymore. So they were going to finish my project, which was fine. But personally, I was going through so many things. Like I had this really hard breakup and I was moving and it was just like a big firestorm of a lot of things happening. And then halfway through the project, I realized it was like, I don't even want to start a magazine, actually. I don't even think if I did, it would work, because during that time of like a full year of when I started the project and paid to when it was going to launch, a lot of the magazines that I loved were closing. And I knew that the business model of digital media wasn't the same, and I couldn't afford to do it at the level I would have wanted to do it, to pay writers and to design and have art. And I held on to that vision for way longer than I could have, than I should have, really. I couldn't let it go because I'd put in so much time. And I think as an entrepreneur, as a creative person, as a person who's doing a lot of things and has a lot of ideas, I think maybe Seth Godin says this, or someone, of like failing fast. Have you heard that before? Is that him?
I think it's maybe a little bit more in the entrepreneurial startup space.
Yeah, but they, you know, I think ultimately it's like, it's being able to, I heard Danielle Laporte say this once, it's like being able to go through the muck and say, actually, this isn't right. I need to stop. This is not working anymore. And there's grief there. There's loss there. That's really scary. You might disappoint people. And I, you know, I think everybody hates having to do work for nothing or do something and then not see any results in it, and or have to redo work. And so it was really hard for me to let go of that project. And so I didn't let go of it. I like launched the site and I had this huge party and it was just like a whole huge thing. And that's what we called my work wedding. And I really loved the concept. You know, the concept of the magazine was sharing soft stories. So I believe, and what I've seen over 300 episodes, is that when people share vulnerably, when people talk about something embarrassing or challenging or, you know, personal, it binds us, it connects us, it makes us feel less alone. And so it was going to be stories, soft stories. That was what this was all really about. And so we had this really beautiful event, and then I left, and I really just needed to stop and like take some time and figure out what I wanted to do next. And I think realizing that, like, okay, that project didn't work. I'm a little bit embarrassed and I'm a little bit bummed. And also it's okay. I'm going to try to do something else. And like, that is resiliency. Like that's being a person, you know, like we fail and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. And then now you launched a new project, Kits, and which is kind of an extension of journaling and creativity and things of that nature as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Let It Out Kits are really a way to put a lot of the content that I would have put in Let It Out in this other format. And, you know, it's kind of going, like, I wrote a self-help book in 2016, and it's kind of going back to my roots with personal growth and self-development of, like, you know, it doesn't have to be, I think I was kind of off put by everything personal growth wise for so long. And then I'm realizing, like, oh, maybe I'm just off put by the container. And if I do this in my way, and if I do this in a really loving way, that's like, look, we all go through a lot of things, and I think we can learn through them. On the other side of hard pain is learning and is growth and is self-awareness. And so that's where I put in these different topics, everything that I've learned through not really learning from other people, but from pulling it out of myself. And that's what journaling lets me do.
Mm-hmm. And so on the, for somebody that's listening, that is looking for a little bit more self-awareness, a little bit more connection to other people, do you have any kind of ideas, resources, besides obviously the kits too, but yeah, any thoughts there on helping people feel a little bit more grounded and centered?
I mean, to be honest, I think journaling is such a tremendous tool. And I often joke that it's the most underrated self-care routine because it's completely free. People can do it anywhere. You don't need anything. I prefer writing on legal pads. Like, I have all these fancy journals, but I, like, this is what I do. I do this exercise. Do you know Morning Pages or Julia Cameron's yeah. Artist Way? So I'm a pretty devoted Morning Pages person. And the first exercise, the first prompt in my book is based off of the Morning Pages. It's called the Morning Dump. And it's a bit of a guided way to cleanse your mind after waking up and figure out what you want for the day and where you're coming from. And that has been the most transformative exercise in my life. And I've gone through long periods where I like don't journal often, or I journal only when I need to. And in quarantine, I've been actually journaling a lot. And one morning I remember like telling my friend, I was like, oh my God, I journaled today. I was like, this is actually like really good. Journaling's really useful. And it was just this funny moment of, I kind of forgot how much I need it. And that's why I made this Journaling 101. It's this 4-day journaling workshop that's completely free that people can do on my website. And I made it basically for quarantine because I kind of had this like renaissance with my own journaling. So I was like, maybe other people would want to do this. So it guides them through like my morning dump is the first day and like everything I normally do with journaling. And then the next 3 days I do one session on intimacy because I believe that all we kind of want is intimacy, but when we get it, we're scared and we put up these masks, you know? And so it's really about having some self-awareness about where you're hiding and realizing, practicing it with yourself so you can bring it to other people. And not just in a romantic context, but in creativity and in really any time we're having to show ourselves vulnerably. So that's the first day. And then the second day is about change, which is obvious. And then the last day is about evolution, because I think on the other side of change is growth and is creativity. And what's birthed from that is really cool. So that's what the fourth day is about. So, you know, I think, and for people right now, like a good question to just get started is taking inventory of how you're feeling and writing about that, or asking yourself, you know, what would this be like if it were easy? And writing about that for a challenging situation. There's a million more tools like that in this workshop or in my book, but I think just those two right there are what I always go back to, because I think when we're moving so fast or we're distracted, I find that I don't know what I'm thinking unless I'm writing, because writing slows me down, and especially handwriting, because not to brag, but I'm a very fast typer and I feel like I can type as fast as I think, but nobody can write that fast. So it really forces you to slow down and do one thing, because you can't really do that many things while you're journaling. Like you can't really be listening to a podcast, on the phone, eating. Like you can kind of like just do the one thing. There's very few times in my day that I'm just doing one thing.
Well, Katie, this has been really amazing. I'm really grateful for your time. I also do want to say thank you. I also loved your podcast episode with your friend Carolina about the like a phone call conversation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nuggets and insights in there in terms of like, I know that people are having more phone calls, but yeah. I like the way they have like a structured phone calls,
yeah,
and kind of like working up a relationship over just a friend phone call. Like, I think that that's another really interesting idea that I want people to learn a little bit more about, because I'm trying to adapt with it too.
Yeah. Let me know how it goes for you. It's so funny like that we recorded that on such a whim and people love that episode, which is so great and makes me so happy. And, you know, our friendship is one of my favorite things in my life and definitely in quarantine. And, you know, I really have leaned in this quarantine to interviewing a lot of my friends on the podcast. The week before that one, I had my friend Brooke on, who's a therapist, and we had this also very intricate, interesting conversation. And the week after that, I had on this person who's basically my second mom, and she interviews me every year for my birthday. And it's these conversations that are just rich and vulnerable, and we get this good volley going, and it's less of a interview and it's more of a just, you know, really honest, vulnerable talk. And that's my favorite thing to listen to, I think. And I don't know, I think we're starved for conversation intimacy. And so we'll settle to eavesdrop on other people having it. And I think that that's, podcasts are a welcome phenomenon for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And thank you for this conversation, Katie. Please let listeners know where they can follow up and support your work.
Yeah. So I made a new Instagram for Let It Out, and it's at Let It Out with 3 T's. And that would be a great place to check in and follow. And then I'm just a Google away, Katie Dalebout, at Katie Dalebout on all social media. And, you know, I'm doing my best on there.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, friend. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Wanted to also let you know about my monthly newsletter called One Email Away, where I fundamentally believe that we are all one email away from new opportunities. And if there's a way that I could potentially help you to connect with other people, I would love to do that. So One Email Away, you can sign up for my newsletter on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. You can also see the One Email Away section. But just want to take this moment to say thank you for listening to this episode. Really excited for us to build and grow our portfolio careers together.